Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, April 9th, 2013. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
There are lots of bad maps out there, poorly conceived, poorly constructed. We see them on the web, on mobile devices, and in print. And there are many more map makers in our industry today as well, from Rand McNally to Google. It's a different world out there. We'll tackle that and more, but first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agolEval.
Dina, when I was a kid, I grew up with my nose in an atlas. I was always looking at the Reader's Digest almanac, or I had a National Geographic magazine that I would pore over. So I grew up with the printed map. And these were, to me, the authoritative sources, if you were, that kind of that phrase that we use a lot today. Later on, I'd pick up maybe a road atlas from Rand McNally, or I was always looking at triptychs from AAA if we'd go on, you know, car trips. But now maps have become specialized for mobile, for web, other digital mediums, including 3D printers, holographic displays. We've added imagery as backdrops, or certainly as a means to verify position. And certainly we see maps every day if you drive a car with a portable or in-dash navigation device. I mean, maps are literally everywhere, and consequently there are many more map makers and people who think they know how to construct a cartographically correct or pleasing map. But I feel the quality has suffered. Map content is sometimes generalized, and people in the digital world know what I mean when I say map generalization is a difficult task. There's overprinting conflicts, text conflicts. They're very problematic, and that has to some degree translated to what occurs in the mobile world and mobile devices, where some maps don't just look poorly constructed, but information is missing entirely. Recently, when I was driving, I took a brief trip up to Tennessee, and I was using three different navigation platforms for routing just to see who had the most logical route, the most pleasing map, the best map. And without critiquing any one vendor, let's just say that all three gave me different routes and different presentations, right? Some of the problems were currency. Some of the maps just weren't up to date. But these are simple examples from a consumer nature. We rely on maps every day for bigger things, national security, political gerrymandering, and many other really important applications. We put a lot of faith in our maps. To you, what makes a good map, and how might the mapping business be changing? Because we not only have to look at applications of maps, but also the medium in which maps were delivered.
Bad maps. I think one of the places we run into bad maps, or what in context are described as bad maps, is when we use maps not for their intended purpose. And I think we do this all the time. If we're just doing a quick and dirty, how do I get from A to B, you jump onto your mobile device or your computer and you pull up your favorite map tool, be it MapQuest or Google or Bing, and you type in the two addresses and you say go, and you just use it. You're not critical. You don't think too much about whether there's construction or traffic. Again, we want to get from A to B in the fastest amount of time, and that includes not just the time in the car, but the time in creating the map. And I think that's where we tend to fall down these days. So when you were talking about you had three different routing options heading to Tennessee, well, of course you did. Did you take the time to figure out which one of them might be the best, or why they sent you one way or the other? Probably not.
Well, actually, I did in that case, and I knew exactly the reason why I was routed, and it had to go to currency. One of the applications had a much more current map. Literally, the other one I was using did not have a road on the map. This was a fairly major road, and it wasn't there. I think our expectations have changed radically, and that was one of the points I wanted to bring up, was this expectation that the maps are current. obviously in the digital world, we want the maps to be current, and especially in the routing world, we want them to be current. But I think it goes to the point of expectations, that no matter what medium we are using, print, digital, web, mobile, we want our maps to be current. And I think that's the first thing about a good or a bad map. Is that map up to date? How many times over the years, way long ago, if I can go back 20 years, we wait for that National Geographic map to come that usually got inserted into your monthly issue that had a different map. And sometimes, you know, given political situations, the map borders would change. But we'd have to wait like a year or 2 years for the political boundaries to be settled, a new map to be created. Today, that's not the case. Our expectations are wildly different.
Right. And back then, I mean, I remember doing this, when you're working with your atlas, doing your homework or whatever, you'd check the date of that atlas. What year was it published? How recent is it? And I think what you did in terms of comparing these three different systems, most people don't do that. Their expectation is it's digital. It's certainly this year, hopefully this month, even maybe yesterday. But we don't really look. And there's two parts to that, too. There's two things that need to be up to date. One is that base map, and the other is whatever data is on top of it.
Right.
And again, we think this way because we're in this field. We think about mapping. We think about GIS. Regular users don't think that way. My cousin is coming up from Florida this weekend, and we're talking about should she rent a car, and she said, oh, but we have a GPS. And then she said, but I got to tell you, down here in Florida, it's pretty terrible. So I guess it's pretty terrible up there, too.
Oh, that's really funny.
You know, she's just a regular person, which I thought was hysterical, but I, of course, convinced her not to rent a car in Boston just because it's horrible. Don't do it.
Just to that point, you know, she said the maps are horrible.
Actually,
a lot
she
of it is...
she said the GPS is horrible.
Oh, the GPS, okay.
Again, encompassing many, many different parts of that that come together into one single thing.
Right.
Which I think is how most people think about a GPS unit.
Yeah. If we go back to some of the issues of currency, she may not have plugged her USB port into the computer to update her maps, you know, like we're sometimes encouraged to do on these on the PND devices. I think I've got a six-year-old Garmin that still reminds me to update my maps, and I've yet to do it. But the other issue is, if you don't do it, those maps aren't current. And some of our PND devices now are connected live, so that we're also getting real-time traffic. And if you got real-time traffic, you want to be routed in real time, right? You want to avoid the construction or the accidents or whatever. And I think that goes to my point about currency. And I think that filters all the way down the line, all the way to the print publishers who need to keep their maps current and to refresh their maps. And if they're going to print out a new edition, those things better be up to date, because our expectations as consumers know that our PNDs are up to date. Oh, okay, why aren't those print maps up to date?
Right. And I think the model, hopefully in the same way that you buy a PND and you get a subscription that allows you to update the data either forever or for some years or whatever, if you buy that paper atlas, it's going to come with a subscription too that you can turn it in or go to a on-demand print shop and print the most up-to-date one, you know, three or four times over the next 2 years.
I want to go to another issue, and that is cartographic standards. We were taught in school. Now, I was a geology major, but I took a course in cartography, and I used my Mylars and my X-Acto knives, and I created my 3D perspective view prismatic maps via Mylar. And so I learned some cartographic standards to make maps well. But when you see other maps constructed today, I wonder whether cartographic principles are applied, or maybe whether they need to be applied. I guess that's another issue. Is it more about currency? Is it more about accuracy? Is it more about cartographic presentation? I wonder when we are constructing our new digital maps for a new digital mobile world, whether those considerations are taken into account in particular, as we are now much more reliant on crowdsourced information, which of course is more to the base map, but still a lot of stuff what we do is crowdsourced. So I'm going to just put that out there, that I wonder whether we're adhering to some of these cartographic principles given all of the devices that we have to service.
Okay, well, a couple things there. One, you were talking about cartographic standards and cartographic principles, and I think those are two different things. I think you're more talking about how we illustrate the information. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. But you still had to follow a model to present that information.
Right. And the other term you didn't use, you talked about X-Acto knives and Mylar, was Zipitone.
Oh, yeah, the Zipitone,
right?
Yeah.
Because we were of the same generation. We took cartography with that set of tools. And I think the issue here, there's two issues. One is what I said before about getting from A to B. We want to get that map out as quickly as possible and done and out on the internet or printed out on the printer or whatever. So there's that sort of immediacy thing, which is just running through our culture. The other half of the equation, of course, is that most of the folks working for these companies that are making the mobile maps and making the maps for newspapers and everywhere else, they never took that cartography course that we did. And that cartography course that we took doesn't even make sense anymore.
Isn't it even relevant to us? Yeah.
I mean, it is to some degree. The course that you and I took was to make maps that were going to end up printed on a magazine, in a book, in a journal, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we're talking about these tiny little handheld devices, and the rules have changed.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
And equally importantly, and I didn't understand this, Alan Carroll explained this to me, that the visualization of the map is part of the user interface of the map in today's world.
Right.
So again, we're talking about a whole different vision of what cartographic principles even means.
Yeah, it would be interesting to speak to Alan Carroll, who is, for those who don't know, the former chief cartographer at the National Geographic, how he views the new digital world. You know, and of course he's doing the map stories with Esri. How is he preparing for a new medium and all of the new mediums that are out there? And I think that really goes to the thing that I'm trying to raise here is we have so many new mediums, so many new more map makers out there. And I have to say that I was also struck. I was comparing Bing, and maybe it was Bing or maybe it was Google, to OpenStreetMap of the very same area in Germany. It was, I believe, an area near Hamburg. I was struck by the difference in the detail of the map. So much more detailed than OpenStreetMap. And I know that Germany is really into OpenStreetMap and all that. But still, if you didn't know that there was a better map out there, you wouldn't know where to go to look. And anyway, it was just something that struck me.
That's absolutely true. And I think the key point from what you said is, if you didn't know there was a better map out there, if you didn't know there was another map out there to even look at, and again, our interest in instant gratification, we don't even do our homework to see what maps are even out there. We go directly to whatever it is we use, Google, Bing, MapQuest. The only time I've seen behavior change is if you remember when Google made the switch from using TeleAtlas maps to using its own maps.
Right.
And for a surprisingly short time, Google Maps was like wrong all the time.
Yeah.
And I remember I had to change my behavior. So I would do my little routing in Google Maps, and then I would check it, typically in OpenStreetMap, interestingly, just because it's very good around here where I am, just to make sure. And I did that for a couple of months, and then I fell back to my old ways, and I go use the same thing I always use.
Well, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that because maps were wrong at Apple, people lost their jobs. It goes to the point where maps are becoming very important for more than just your everyday navigation. They're critical for a lot of different applications. And you know, I just think it was important to raise that point.
True, and that raises another issue about this this instant gratification thing. We want our maps fast, and if we find our maps are bad, we are going to respond very quickly and very harshly, and that's what Apple did.
So we'd be curious about what you think. What makes a good map? What makes a bad map? And give us your feedback at DirectionsMag. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that Getting to Know ArcGIS for Desktop, 3rd edition, has been updated for ArcGIS 10.1. This new edition includes chapters and exercises related to working with ArcGIS Online, creating web maps, and searching for shared online data. Visit esri.com/esripress for more information.
And from us here at Directions, this is a critical topic for us about good and bad maps. We have initiated and launched the .map conference that will be held September 8th to the 10th in Boston. I hope you'll join us. More information at mapconference.net. If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Leave a comment where this podcast is posted on Directions Mag, or send us a tweet @DirectionsMag. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.